Have you ever been to a conference or a bar and you saw someone from across the room and you wanted to walk up and start a conversation, but you either didn't have the confidence or you didn't know what to say and you just didn't want to fumble that first impression? Today, we're going to talk about how to make those first 60 seconds count and make sure that your first impression comes off as confident, competent, and charming. I had a wonderful conversation with Mr. Nick Notice. He is a confidence and dating coach for men in the Boston area, and he's been coaching for over the last 10 years and has a readership of over 300,000 people. So this man knows what he's talking about. And it's not pickup style dating, it's genuine and authentic confidence building. Now, we talked on a bunch of different subjects about first impressions, how to wing it versus knowing some prepared things to talk about, and how to end up not sounding like a robot. It was a lot of fun. We talked about a bunch of topics, and I think that you are truly going to enjoy it. So, without any further ado, here's our interview that we did with Nick Notice. Hello, everyone. I am super excited. Today, we have Mr. Nick Notice as our wonderful guest. He has helped tens of thousands of men conquer their fears, build genuine self-esteem, and develop charismatic social skills for the last 10 years. Over 300,000 people read his advice every month. He has been featured in Time, CBS, Men's Fitness, and works with some very successful and extremely high-achieving men. And what he talks about in terms of confidence and dating isn't pickup-style dating. This is genuine and authentic dating help through exuding that natural confidence. His story is absolutely incredible. I'm sure we'll get to that in a little bit. But you are in the right place if you're ready to learn how to connect to other people, master those first impressions, and have the confidence to go up and just start those conversations, whether it's a cute girl at the bar or just to make some new friends at the new city. So thank you so much for being with us here today, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about who you are, what you do.
Sure. So I'm a dating and confidence coach, predominantly working with men. I've been doing that, as you said, for about 10 years. And what that really entails is teaching men how to understand more about who they are, what they need, their values, and then figure out how to express that to other people in the real world to create more meaningful connections, to attract the love life they're looking for, and just basically to find more happiness.
Absolutely. So you're helping them fine tune in on those best properties that they've got and putting it in a term that they can convey that to another human being.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. So tell me how you got started in this niche, Nick.
Yeah, so originally I thought growing up I'd become some kind of maybe relationship counselor. I studied a lot of psychology and interpersonal relationships and all that. And then at about 19, when I was going to college, a lot of things happened all at once in my life where my dad got really sick. Most of my friends moved out of state to other universities. And then my girlfriend of 2 years dumped me on our 2 year anniversary. So kind of the entire social world coming down at once, my self-confidence coming down at once, and basically having to kind of support my family and become head of household at a very young age. And so kind of obviously taking a break from schooling at that point, saying, all right, there's a lot of wonderful people in the relationship space, and I'm not going to be able to pursue that right now. And just kind of seeing what I wanted to do in the world. And eventually, after kind of being depressed for a couple of months, I decided to research some stuff online. I saw, obviously, probably back in the day, some pickup or dating advice, and said, cool, if this actually works, this sounds like one of the best things I could do for myself. So went out for the first year, really tried to socialize and quote unquote became good at it. And then, yeah, one thing led to another where a friend said, hey man, I love what you're doing and I think it's really cool that you're doing this. Could you teach me? And so a light bulb kind of went off and I said, I'm really passionate about this and I'm really learning a lot. And I've read every book possible on body language, social skills, and pickup that I could get my hands on. If I can make a living teaching guys the same process, I think it would be the best job in the world for me. And so kind of organic. And then my first 3 years, I applied and got into a couple of national pickup artistry companies. And unfortunately realized that it wasn't always the healthiest of mindsets. And so eventually split off and said, I want to do this where I can teach people the concepts that that make you confident and make you socially charismatic, but do it in hopefully a more authentic way. That's healthy for both people. And here I am 7 years later after that.
That's awesome. What a story. Now, going on that, what's one of your favorite things to teach people where you really see those light bulb moments going off?
I think the biggest light bulb moment is always just the possibility that they can do something like this, that they could be more social, that they could learn how to be more self-confident. And however that happens through experience is always the big aha, right? Because I think before, I just actually got off a client call where I told them, before you do it, it's hard to have faith in it, right? You can read it online, you can hear it from a coach, you can hear it anywhere, but then you see the moment where they actually go out, they push through some anxiety, they feel good about themselves, they have good interaction, and they're like, oh my God, this is possible for me. That's always the best. And usually for my clients, it often tends to them approaching somebody brand new in a new environment, which they never would have.
Gotcha. And then once that snowball starts rolling downhill and the confidence builds, you're moving from there. So building on confidence, what are some ways that people can get in that right mindset and start building some confidence, whether it's just to, like you said, go up and talk to someone new or in a strange situation? What are some of your go-to tips there?
Yeah, I think first is just understanding your goals, right? Is to say, like, what do I want to become more confident in? And where do I feel like I struggle with that? So it's a little bit of mindfulness of saying, okay, I really struggle to introduce myself to somebody I find attractive, or I always hold myself back in conversation this way. And so I think there's a little bit of self-analysis. And then from there saying, okay, what are a few practical ways that I can maybe start to get real world exposure on that goal, but that is possible. So if you see for dating as mine, you see a beautiful girl that you want to talk to, might be really hard to go up and say hi and start a conversation. But making eye contact with somebody for a few seconds that you've never done could be easier. And then all of a sudden you're getting that positive reference experience of, great, I can do this. Maybe you're getting a nice reference experience of the girl looking back and smiling. And so it's like, great, I did this one little notch. Let me now take it to the next step. Maybe I'm going to greet somebody in passing, or maybe I'm going to just, when I'm, you know, traveling somewhere, asking, you know, a girl, where can I get a wonderful coffee? Or, you know, and working your way up until you get to that goal where you build kind of the foundation. And then all of a sudden that final step isn't so big of a deal. And so I think by definition, there's a difference between self-esteem and self-confidence. But if we're talking about self-confidence, I tend to think it is the belief in your own abilities. And I think one of the best ways to do that is actually see that you have those abilities.
Absolutely. That's one thing that with our coaching as well, is we push people to go out and actually implement the things that we're teaching and that they're learning, because you can, like you said, you can read all the blogs, you can watch videos all day long, but if you're not actually going out and starting those conversations, you're not working towards making those skills more natural.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, I have guys who've read every single book on confidence and social skills and everything, and then come to me and be like, I don't feel like I'm any better. And sometimes even feel worse, right, without applying any of it. So, yeah, there's a mix of theory and application, and that's actually one reason why I steered away from relationship counseling, because I wanted to be a little bit more hands-on.
Gotcha. Now, talk me through when you're going up and starting a conversation, whether you go with, you know, simple hellos or icebreakers or jokes or cracks about the weather, what's really your go-to?
Sure. If I can take some liberty, I think I actually think about it in a mindset way a lot of times. And this changed 7 years ago. I would get very practical about, okay, here's what they call direct approaches and indirect approaches. And I think the problem of thinking specifics too much, especially if this is new for you, you should say this, does two things. One, it gives you this false sense of that there's a perfect introduction, and there's not. I mean, we're humans, we have different scenarios, different environments, different personalities. But two, it kind of puts you in the frame of mind of, I need to say this planned thing to be liked. And so what I've leaned towards now more in the last few years is saying, again, a little bit of mindfulness in that moment and saying, what am I curious about? What do I find interesting about what's going on? What do I want to learn more about? What is this person wearing that's, you know, intriguing to me? Where are they from? What are they doing? Why are they doing this hobby? Or getting excited about sharing something, like you guys are hiking and you want to talk about how beautiful the view is or how this is like the most tranquil, you know, relaxing moment you've had in 2 years. I don't know. But coming from a place where you say, what am I curious about or what am I excited to share? What value can I give to somebody? And then trying to actually feel that out will always give you the right answer. And obviously it takes practice. And going back to what I said earlier, you can even do it in your head. So you can be, you know, I don't know, at salsa dancing and you want to try salsa. And in your head, you can even say, wow, that, you know, I look at that person and they've got incredible moves and they're so skilled and fluid. I wonder how long they've been doing this. And practice that in your head and eventually actually go up and say, hey, listen, you know, you're really talented at this. And I feel like I've got two left feet. How long have you been doing this and what's really helped? And if you're always coming from that place of what do I actually want to share? What do I want to know? You tend to have a healthier mindset. And then it tends to make you start off the conversation a lot more present, right? Rather than thinking, okay, what do I need to say? Because it starts a chain reaction of like, okay, now what do I say next? What do I say next? What do I say next? So right. Yeah, kind of tapping into your own feelings in that moment and riding off that.
It's almost like a shortcut to get into the good part of a conversation where you know, you're coming from a place of authenticity and genuine and then you go from there.
Because if you're not, right, that's, I think, one of the biggest issues people have in conversation with new people is like, instead of being present and listening to what's being said and then relating back or sharing stories back or an opinion or a joke that feels authentic, like you would with your best friends or somebody you're comfortable with, you kind of get into this mindset of like, okay, what do I say next that's going to make them laugh? What do I want? What do they want to hear? What's going to be impressive? And so you're really putting the metrics on their approval of you rather than just kind of relating to yourself. It takes you out of the conversation. When you're thinking like that, the number one thing I hear is like, I'm always in my head. And I'm sure as you know, if you're in your head, you're not listening to the conversation and it makes it really hard to respond.
That's exactly it. Because once you're present and focused on that moment, 9 times out of 10, the other person's going to give you something to continue the conversation with anyway. And you don't have to do that. What's next? What's next? Perfect. So on that topic, when we, you know, sort of talking a bit about preparation and winging it and, you know, being natural. So where do you fall on that spectrum of, you know, having some things that you are prepared or stories or things to talk about versus going in totally blind?
Yeah, I think if you're inexperienced completely, it's fine to have a couple of stories or things you want to discuss in the back of your mind, right? I always think, I tell guys like, what are relevant stories that have some meaning or fun to you? What do you actually love talking about with new people? What do you like learning about from new people? And so those three things of stories, what you're passionate about and what you like to talk about and understand from other people, do they like this type of subject or what's their, are they open-minded? Having the high level concepts, I think is very, very useful. I think getting further than that, where you say, okay, here's my story of Mexico and saying, okay, I need to hit these beats and thinking about the exact lines is where, again, you start to hit that balance of like authentic with I'm trying to, you know, memorize a story. So I'd rather you say, okay, I understand Mexico and the whole point of it is how, you know, I went to this eco theme park and I felt like I was like Indiana Jones, right? And that's it. And you don't need the specific delivery, the specific lines, because I also think just feeling that in the moment and getting caught up in your story makes you more charismatic. So yeah, have a balance of a couple high levels, but don't get so nitty gritty that you need to think about every line.
Perfect. I definitely agree with that, because if you start worrying about, oh, I messed up this point, the thing with stories is that so many people need to remember is what's in it for the other person? Why are you telling that story to begin with? And so it's, you know, like you said, it's that end part of you felt like Indiana Jones. So whether you told your story from start to finish or you jumped in the middle, you're exuding that emotion through your story to the other person.
Right. And yeah, it's the whole three-tier act, right? Like understand the setting, the build up and the finale, and like maybe know those three ideas, but then that's it.
Gotcha. So now we'll transfer, we're sort of going through a conversation, you know, we've started with our introduction, we've got a little bit of conversation going on. So Tell me a bit about how you coach your gentlemen in terms of body language, reading, or displaying different aspects.
Sure. I think the most important thing to start with is eye contact and posture, right? I think without those things, no matter what you're saying to somebody, it's really hard to come across as comfortable or make somebody else comfortable. So at least initially when I'm working with somebody, I'm saying, okay, are you holding good eye contact, especially when other people are talking? Are you holding eye contact when you first introduce yourself? Are you standing in a way that's a little bit more comfortable, looking at the horizon, not fidgeting and kind of closing your body down and looking at the floor or breaking eye contact and just working on a couple of things there? I also think a lot of things that people don't talk about that's important is proxemics. So a lot of guys, when they first start introducing themselves to new people, they stand very far or like awkwardly distant because they're like, oh, I don't want to get in this person's space or upset them. And there's actually a balance of if you're standing too far from somebody while talking to them, it feels uncomfortable. Like it feels like we're strangers by nature, right, of it. So just getting a little bit closer or even after you introduce yourself, getting more off to the side so you can kind of bridge a little bit of that closeness without it being like face to face, you know? So yeah, eye contact, body language, and proximity are really important. And then I do think voice is important. Absolutely. But I would always start with body language and eye contact first. And then it's like, cool, where can we work on your projection? Do you sound comfortable? And especially, I think one other important one for your audience is like, you need to talk slower when you introduce yourself. Even I'm from Boston, so I talk at like a mile a minute. But I try to consciously, when I'm talking to people or presenting, slow myself down. And it's the opposite of the way most people think it works. If you talk faster, you think, okay, they're not going to be bored, but they're actually not going to get the messages and really feel the, you know, everything you have to offer in your words, as opposed to if you just pace yourself a little bit more, you're a lot more, you're drawing people in, right? And it's like any good speaker, if you listen to Obama speak, like it sounds confident and draws the listener in. So yeah.
Gotcha. So moving down the conversation train here, there's a point in the conversation which we've sort of dubbed the conversation fork in the road, which is after your introduction, you've talked about a topic or two, and then you hit that awkward lull, that pause. You're like, not really sure where to go to stay at small talk, to dive deeper. So I'm sure you've hit that sort of a conversation bump. What are some of the ways that you navigate through that situation?
Sure. So let me just chill for a sec. So that's one thing is I think if you look comfortable in your silence or you just take a breather and you're smiling or you grab a drink or you lean back a little bit, one, people don't realize you're going silent. But two, it actually lets you naturally start to think about, okay, where do I go next? Because a lot of people immediately hit that lull and their first response is like, oh God, what do I say? Where does this go? And you're causing all this anxiety about it. And it's really hard to think about, okay, where do I want to share next? Or what do I want to learn more when you're kind of spinning in your head about it? So I think giving yourself permission to just like chill for 3 seconds and or 5 seconds and breathe and look comfortable is great. It also often makes the other person feel like this guy's really comfortable and he's waiting for me to talk. So it can take some of the pressure off of you and they're like, oh, it's my turn to contribute. I think outside of that, I'm just picking off like, yeah, where did, if it depends on, I guess, where the silence came in. If you just didn't know where you were, you lost track because you were in your head. I think just, again, giving yourself a few seconds and saying, okay, where were we? Train of thought, let it pick back up and then add. Otherwise, I think you could always go back to one of the ideas we talked about an interest you want to learn or a commonality and leading into that. And saying like, cool, so what kind of music do you listen to? Or what are you passionate about? Do you love traveling? You don't need like, I think a lot of people think from an awkward silence, you always need like a perfect segue. And you don't, right? Like you could just be like, hey, so tell me, what do you like to do for music? Do you go to any shows or whatever? And then I think finally, well, in terms of actual practicality, so I would pick back up where we left off, transition to something new, or even go deeper about that subject. So I don't think there's anything, you know, a right answer. But if we were talking about, you know, I don't know, childhood stories and like you want to ask her like, you know, what was your best friend like or get a little bit more personal and it's been a couple minutes, that's fine too. And then one thing I always say is, like, say you're really blowing it up. Say you have no idea what to say at all. And you're like, okay, I'm lost. I'm done. Admit it. Like, it's fine to say, like, hey, I lost track of where we were. You know, I was thinking about what were you saying? Could you remind me? Or, hey, you know, I totally lost. You know, I was in my head for a sec. I lost track of it. What were we saying? And then most people are fine with it. I wouldn't do that more than once, maybe twice in a conversation. Then it gets awkward. But once is, like, fine. I think it's better than just, like, trying to, like, push yourself to do something that you really can in the moment.
Very nice. Yeah, it's that, you know, it's you're not a perfectionist. You know, it's a conversation. It doesn't have to be absolutely flawless. So finishing up with conversation here, how do you go about confidently closing a conversation that leaves the other person with an impression that they want to follow up or want to keep talking to you?
Yeah, I think two things I really like to do is I like to share some genuine value of what I loved about our conversation. It was really fun talking to you about whatever, whatever, whatever. It was really fun hearing you talk about X. And just showing that you appreciated the conversation, that you found value in it. Or, you know, I love your attitude. It was so fun talking to you tonight. It's not always, but it's a nice little compliment. And I think genuine, sincere compliments are one of the best things we can do to people. And then outside of that, I tend to like to find a commonality that we talked about, if possible, and make that as a bridge for our next time. So if it's like, I don't know, we talked about really loving a hike in the Rockies or whatever, and you're like, hey, listen, I got to run, but it was so fun talking to you, and like, I love how adventurous you are. We should totally do our own hike sometime soon, right? And then it feels really natural that you have a commonality, and it's not, the way I always think about it is make an idea, and then the logistics of trading info and numbers becomes just a natural part of that, rather than like, hey, give me your number and we can do something. So that's the way a lot of people do it. I like to flip it around and just say like, cool, let me present this idea. If the person's excited, cool, let's trade numbers and we'll figure it out. Then it's become supernatural.
Gotcha. So adding on, once you've exchanged numbers or emails or whatever it is, what's a sort of appropriate follow-up procedure?
Yeah, just like screaming at them in all caps.
Texting them at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, texting like a dozen times. Why aren't you responding? No, I think I don't love. So I think the number one thing people do is like, hey, Karen, this is Mike. It was really nice meeting you today. It's okay. But I think if they put your number on the phone or they knew who you are, they had a genuine connection, there's not like much value in just restating like, hey, X, this is Y, whatever. Instead, I just like to use some callback humor from the conversation or, you know, something relevant to what we talked about. And I know a lot of people now just like even snapping a photo of something silly that she might enjoy, like you guys talked about, and you're like, hey, listening to the new album we talked about, boom. So if it ties back again, I love context and I love restating that connection a little bit. So if there's something you guys talked about that was funny, or even she has like plans for this big trip and you're like, hey, enjoy the Virginia Beach trip. You better shoot me a picture with the biggest margarita ever, right? That is way more personal and takes you back to that connection than just saying like, hey, what's up? It's me. Have a great night. So yeah, just something relevant to the conversation.
Right. You're jumping in and talking to them like they're already a friend that you've had for a long time.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. It's like, otherwise it creates that distance. Like, hey, we're strangers still trying to like make something happen. And like, you don't text your friends like that ever. You're just like, yo, bro, what's up? Like, boom. And like, you know, let's grab some burgers and hit the beach. Maybe you don't say that to your friends, but example.
Gotcha. So now I know a lot of what we talked about here was in a social capacity, but how can we sort of, or someone apply those same tactics in more of like an office or a professional setting? Cause it's really the same foundation. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the same thing. So I guess we can narrow it, but I think if you're somebody who isn't even socializing at work, your interpersonal connections there and just having people appreciate you and say, okay, this is somebody I want to get along with goes a long way. So if you're not, the bare minimum is just start saying hello to people. Say, hey, great day. Did you see the game? Whatever. And just showing that you're taking an initiative to like treat them like a person and put yourself out there. And then they're likely to start investing back. Right. That would be my step one if you're not. I also think once you start to connect with those people a little bit more for those first 5-10 minutes. Similar to bridging the gap, invite people out to lunch, man. Like, invite your coworkers occasionally to go to lunch or to an after work drinks or dinner, and start bridging it if you want. I guess this depends on what your goals are. If we're talking about making friends at work, then yeah, I would start socializing more, just even very quickly, and opening the door. They start engaging you randomly over the next couple times, and then invite them to go grab lunch inside the cafe at your place or after work or whatever, set up a drink night. And that way you start to shift people out of like, cool, this is just some coworker I have to be very professional with, to like, hey, this is starting to be a friend.
Absolutely. I think you pretty much nailed it on the head there. So I'd like to jump around a little bit here. So I was on your website recently, and I saw you have these confidence retreats.
Yeah. So
if you could tell me a little bit about how that works, or how, you know, how did this come to be to make it a whole retreat?
Sure. So I just started this about a little under 2 years ago, and it's the idea is like, we go to a new city every time for 3-4 days usually, and we have a group of guys, and every day we rent out a beautiful place, we go over theory on self-confidence, self-esteem, and especially how that relates to presenting yourself to the social world and creating connections. And that also deals with romantic and intimate confidence. We go over those lessons in the retreat center. You know, you usually do 2 sessions a day. We also have some female coaches there that guys can practice and get feedback from a woman's perspective, because talking to me doesn't necessarily make them as nervous as it does talking to Christina, our coach. So you kind of see a lot more. From there, we actually go out every day into the world, to beaches, adventures, hikes, bars, nightlife, to actually go apply those social skills. And then after the retreat, everyone keeps in touch together and accountable through phone calls, through WhatsApp groups, through Facebook groups. So it's really kind of an immersive experience. And the reason why I got into it is I've had a couple of friends who are super, super positive about retreats they've taken, meditative and confidence and healing. And so I tried it. And immediately after the first one, it was like, dude, I gotta keep doing this. Having a group of people be living together and vulnerable and open and immersed for days gets a lot more out of people, and a lot more motivation, and a lot more just camaraderie and connection than sometimes even one-on-one does. Like, one-on-one's great, but sometimes, I don't know, somebody, a friend used an analogy like, Michael Jordan was like, hey, let me work on your basketball game and play basketball with me. You'd probably be holding back a little bit and like, oh God, he's going to judge me. It's MJ, whatever. At the retreat, when you have so many people opening up and so many people in like-minded headspace and going through the same issues, it really drops everything so you can fully show up and commit to this. So it's just been wonderful. And we have a photographer there for online dating and social media. So yeah.
That's really awesome. I think it's something that's, you know, necessary when it's in showing that it's okay to be vulnerable and to take that and moving from that vulnerability to a state of confidence.
Absolutely. I mean, I wrote about it, but my last retreat, which was in Austin and the previous one was in Spain, but at the last one, the last day for like 3 hours, 10 grown men were crying. So I consider that a huge success. Which is funny in hindsight, but it means people are actually changing.
Yeah. Gotcha. And where is this year's retreat?
Lisbon, Portugal. So we picked it because it's accessible, high English speaking, but then it has a really, really good social life. Like, you know, they say some of the best nightlife in Europe now. So
very nice. And do you have any spots left?
We have 3 spots officially. We're talking to people every day. I assume, hopefully, I'm trying to close out spots by end of July. But yeah, apply, and if there's spots open, we're happy to talk.
All right, I'll make sure to put the links in the description for everyone who's watching here. And if someone wants to learn more about you and your blog and what you do and your coaching, how can they do so? How can they get in touch with you?
Just stalk me, generally. They can go to my site, nicknotas.com, nicknotas.com. I have like 7 years worth of free content on there, and then the retreats on the menu if they want to get more info there.
Fantastic. So a couple of questions to finish up with you here. What are some of your favorite books or books that you recommend?
Okay. If we're talking about practical social skills that I think are helpful for you guys, definitive book of body language. Very, very good. The Charisma Myth by Olivia Fox Cabane or Caban. Yep. Great book about being present, understanding people better. It may be No More Mr. Nice Guy. So he's a good friend of mine, Dr. Glover, and it sounds like Be a Horrible Person book, but it's actually the opposite. It's about learning how to speak more honestly, set your expectations, boundaries, so that you can have healthy relationships. I think those three are really practical in terms of nonverbal communication, social skills, and then mental confidence.
Gotcha. And who would you say is an inspiration to you?
Wow, that's
getting tough.
Can I be corny?
Sure, absolutely.
My dad, actually, I think is probably one of the biggest. It's hard to say one inspiration because I read from everybody. I mean, if there's been a self-improvement book or one of the people that I really like too that I didn't say is Brene Brown. I think she's a huge inspiration if anyone's seen that. She talks a lot about self-esteem through vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Super, super big inspiration. Outside of that, my dad, just because he told me from a very young age, it didn't always work, but he told me, be interested in everybody. Even if you don't have exactly the same, you know, qualities or values or whatever, there's always something to connect with and something to learn and something to share, and just really instilled that in my head. And I think that's super important for business, for romance, for friendships. I think the more opportunities you take and the more that you actually care about other people, the better your life gets.
That's a great bit of wisdom to have dad pass down the baton with you.
Thank you.
And then two questions left. So if you could have a conversation with anyone, past, present, future, who would it be?
Man, these are insane. You know, it's funny. I used to say this when I was a kid, and it's the first thing that came up is Bruce Lee. I think I'd want to learn the discipline, especially physical and mental, that comes with it, and being healthy and thinking that way. So I think he'd be a really interesting talk.
Nice one. Nice one. And then final question, is there anything that you wish that I had asked, or do you have any final thoughts?
Not necessarily. I mean, you asked really good questions, man. Maybe the difference between self-esteem and self-confidence.
That was going to be my last follow-up, because you touched on it at the very beginning. I wanted to see what your definitions were there.
Sure. So I think self-confidence, I tend to believe it's the belief in your own abilities. So your skills, your knowledge and know-how in something. And self-esteem tends to be the ability, the belief in your own worth as a person. So am I worthy of going after the things that are important to me? Am I worthy of love? Am I worthy of connection? Do I feel valuable in this world? And a lot of people get those mixed up, and they're really different at times. They tend to be solved the same ways, but you can have lots of one, none of the other, and vice versa. So there are a lot of people who are super, super confident in business and really skilled and like go-getters, but don't feel like they're secure in themselves. They don't feel worthy of a great partner, and vice versa. They're people who like themselves or whatever, but haven't really put themselves out there in the world consistently to gain that experience. So just understanding the two differences helps, because then you can say, okay, where should I put a little bit more?
Very nice. Very nice. That is awesome. Oh, I'm losing my internet connection here. Oh, there it comes back. Fantastic.
Did you get that?
I did. It was my end was going bad here. But I just wanted to say thank you so much. You gave some awesome tips and tricks and wisdom. I'm going to have a hell of a time making a description for this video, because we covered way more than I had originally anticipated here. But that's awesome in terms of value for everyone. And I really appreciate your time, and I'm glad that you were here with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, man. This is awesome.
Good stuff. All righty.
What'd you think? Pretty great, right? Nick is an incredible guy, and I am going to put links to all the stuff that we talked about, including his confidence retreats, right down there in the description below. So if you're still wanting to join them in Portugal, make sure that you go ahead and click on those links. I think he has a few spaces left. I'll also have links to his blog as well as our blog and some other awesome videos for you. So I truly, truly hope that you enjoyed, you learned a few things, and that when it comes to that next first impression or starting that next conversation, you have the confidence, and you know exactly what to say to show everyone that you are charming and in charge. So if you liked what we're putting down and you enjoyed this video, go ahead and click subscribe right down there in the corner so that you never miss a video. Our Experts Academy series, we're going to be releasing these videos every Wednesday. So we've done Body Language with Mark Bowden. This was Confidence and First Impressions with Nick Notice. We've got a huge lineup. So every Wednesday, make sure you come right back here and check out what we're putting down. Until next time, ciao for now.